I am Thierry Lumumba here at the Maasai Lodge in Ongatarongai in Kajiado County in the Rift Valley in the Republic of Kenya. And our conversation and discussions on diverse issues relating to the continent of Africa continues apace. Today we talk about different African forces, to mean military forces, and how they have performed over the years. No sooner had African countries regained independence than we started seeing the use of inherited defense forces as instruments for undermining African countries. And the reason is not far to seek. Remember that wherever they were, if they were the French, the armies were made in the image of the French army. If they were the British, the armies were made in the image of the British army. And it is only in the Portuguese colonies, because of the protracted civil guerrilla wars, that the armies took different formations, particularly because they were aided by the Soviet Union. They took structures that were under the formation of the Soviet Union, and this was specifically in countries such as Angola and, of course, Mozambique, and in Guinea-Bissau, and in countries which were under Portuguese colonies, which went through protracted wars. In the case of the United States of America, they started entering into the arena of military training a little later, but specifically in the 1950s and 1960s, which then tells you the question that the culture and the tradition of our military forces across the continent of Africa was actually in the image of the colonizers. And in a number of countries, of course, the colonizers also remained as trainers and as commanders. And let us start by looking at each of the countries specifically during the 1960s and understand and appreciate the role that that kind of training did lead to. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the administration of Patrice Emery Lumumba and Joseph Kasavubu inherited an army that had Belgian officers. And as early as 1961, there was a mutiny against the Belgian commanders. And ultimately, of course, it is the very same force that was used to eliminate Lumumba. And because of the training that they were given, they could not even withstand the gendarmerie from Belgium. That is how weak the army was. Of course, we then had peacekeeping forces, even from Ghana, but even those could not withstand, so that when Moise Tshombe wanted to secede with Katanga, he was doing so very easily, because the armies were also divided along ethnic lines, with some loyalty, of course, to the colonizing powers newly departed. In East Africa, Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, the people who were trained were also trained in the British tradition. You saw that in Uganda, you saw that in Tanganyika, and ultimately in Tanzania, and then Kenya. And in the 1970s, there were mutinies in all the three countries. But Tanganyika, when it became Tanzania in 1964 and started moving to the left, started reorienting its army, even renaming it to mean that it was a people's army. And we can see how the Tanzanian army, because of that patriotism and loyalty and change in orientation, how during the 1970s, in 1979, it was very successful in dislodging the invasion of Idi Amin and removing the administration of Idi Amin. Tanzania's army therefore stands out as an army that was patriotic, whose members were wedded to the ideals of the country, because it changed its orientation. And that is very important to understand, because Kwame Nkrumah had said in 1963 that the army must be a part of the people. And the Tanzanian orientation was also derived from the People's Defense Force, the People's Army in China, with whom Tanzania had very close collaboration. Tanzanian army stood out in that regard. The other military formation that we can talk about as having been very effective, but even before we go to that, we can see that armies were also used because of their foreign orientation to cause chaos in Africa. We saw that with the army in Ghana, which overthrew Kwame Nkrumah. We saw that with the army in Nigeria, which overthrew Nnamdi Azikiwe and Abubakar Tafawa Balewa. We saw that with the army in Togo, which overthrew the administration of Silvanus Olympio. And that tells you that when you have an army whose ideological orientation is foreign, then it becomes a danger to the country. But there is also something to be said about armies which are oriented in the right direction. In the 1990s, when there was trouble in Liberia, we know that the armies of West Africa under ECOWAS, under the auspices of ECOMOG, the West African Monitoring Group, succeeded in restoring order when there was a civil war in Liberia. That also demonstrates the fact that if African armies are united and ideologically directed, then they can be agents of peace and agents of change. We have also seen that during the civil war in Angola, of course, there was the aid of the Cubans, but the MPLA army was successful in ensuring that the South African apartheid forces who were supporting UNITA of Jonas Malheiro Savimbi did not succeed, because there was ideological depth. And that ideological depth is something that one needs in an army for it to succeed in the manner that is desirable. Angolan army therefore stands out in that regard. We also saw that in Frelimo, which was led initially by Eduardo Mondlane and ultimately Samora Moises Machel, when the renegade terrorist rebellious army unit rather than army of Afonso Jakama of RENAMO was being used by the apartheid regime. It was the ideological anchors of Frelimo that helped in ensuring that the Afonso Jakama attempt at disrupting Mozambique was defeated. So one sees an Africa that has had armies that are capable of fighting and capable of ensuring that territory is protected. The Ethiopian army is also an army that we can talk about, and we know that there was a time when they were fighting with the Somalis, an unfortunate fight, but the ideological orientation was very important in that regard. And of course, the Egyptian army has also demonstrated on a number of occasions that it is capable of being deployed to good effect, as indeed has been the South African Defense Forces, which has performed with mixed results in different parts of the continent of Africa. And one of the areas where the African armies ought not to have been involved, but were involved, was what is sometimes called the First African War in the Great Lakes, where we had the armies of Zimbabwe, Angola, South Africa. It was an unfortunate thing. And one therefore is suggesting that for African forces to be formidable, it is important that they are ideologically rooted. Until very recently, and recently in this regard means as recently as the year 2024, and as recently as the year 2023 and even 2025, in quite a number of countries, you had French legionnaires present physically in La Côte d'Ivoire, in Senegal, in Burkina Faso, in Chad, in Niger, and in Guinea. One is saying that the time is now, and I'm happy that all these countries have expelled or asked these French legionnaires to leave. We also know that at one time, the United States of America formed the African Command. The question is, why should we have an African Command here in the continent of Africa? It is because of our disunity. We also know that the British do have and do perform their practices in a number of countries, including Kenya. Why should that happen from a standpoint of weakness? And we are saying that going forward, the only way for African forces to have a presence and to be strong as a bulwark against the neo-colonial project is to be organized, to be ideologically anchored, and it will start in this way. It starts, number one, with the regions, so that in ECOWAS, under the leadership of Nigeria, we can have a force. And in the Maghreb, they will decide under whose leadership they want to work. But I would suggest that Egypt has the capacity. We can do that. In East Africa, we can have a force. And I believe in that regard, the East African does not need a leader in that regard. All the countries, particularly the countries of Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, which were the founding members of the East African community, can provide an anchor in that regard. In Southern Africa, of course, the South African Defense Forces can have and can be the anchor that is needed in that regard. In Central Africa, we need to stabilize the Democratic Republic of Congo, ensure that the war in that region ends, and when it ends, under the auspices of the African Union, all these units can then be brought together and we can talk of an African force which will have a single command, and that single command will lead to an army that is capable of protecting the continent of Africa. And this is very critical. If Africa is to survive, Africa must, in the nature of things, have forces that are capable of participating whenever necessary in protecting the continent, which means that they must have all the necessary arsenals, which means that they must be able to fight as others fight. Drones have become the in thing. Are we there? Nuclear, let's not be shy. Whether one likes them or not, are we there? Do we have aircraft that are made by ourselves? Are we there? Do we have tanks that are made by ourselves? Are we there? Do we have guns that are made by ourselves? Are we there? Do we have bullets that are made by ourselves? Are we there? We are not there. And ultimately, what is our ideological anchorage? When we talk about Ubuntu, can Ubuntu be the ideological anchor? I am because you are, so that when any other African country is in trouble, all African countries will come to their aid. Because the world has demonstrated that when you are strong militarily, economically, and politically, that is when you will be respected. There is no other route. And I'm suggesting that the exhortation of the Osagyefo Kwame Nkrumah on the 25th day of May 1963 is the exhortation that we should use. One hopes, and if we must pray, one prays, that the African Union will recognize that Agenda 2063 must also talk about military strengthening. It is only in that way that we will earn respect, grudgingly or otherwise. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to discuss different aspects of the continent of Africa. You can never exhaust the subject, but we do our very best to focus on the critical areas. Bye-bye. We'll see you again.